grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil always endeavors to destroy the works of God. He wants to destroy creation. He wants to destroy the church. He wants to destroy the gospel. He wants to destroy your faith in God's grace and salvation through Christ Jesus. One of the ways that the devil sometimes destroys is by taking possession of someone's mind and heart. We call it demonic possession. In the course of our story today, we learned that because this man was possessed by the devil had robbed him of his power of speech. And so the man was mute. He could not speak because he was possessed by a devil, and that devil expressed his bondage by refusing to let the man use his vocal cords or his speech. Now, it says in our text, Jesus was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. So it's a very short little story. All right? Jesus cast the devil out. The devil left. And when the devil left, the man could speak again. And so it should be obvious to anybody that Jesus was working against and defeating the works of the devil. Because the devil held this man in bondage so that he couldn't even speak. Jesus comes and casts out the devil, and the man's tongue is loosed and he's able to speak. Jesus set a man free from the power of the devil. And that's obvious to anyone who is not prejudiced by preconceived notions. Now, the thing that we need to understand in this is that this exorcism that Jesus performed, along with all of his other miracles, are a divinely given sign from heaven that he is the one who sets all of us free from sin, from death, from the power of the devil. He is the one who gives us forgiveness, eternal life, and salvation. And it's pictured for us here in this exorcism that Jesus performs on this poor man. Now, no sooner does he finish the miracle, but that we have a number of reactions to Jesus. Number one is the reaction that says, you know how he casts out devils? He does it because he's in league with the devil. He's a bad guy. And he's only doing this by the power of the devil in order to lead you astray. Jesus is a bad guy. Then there's a second response to him. And the second response is, well, if you want us to believe in you, show us a sign from heaven. Stupid, right? Why do I say stupid? Because he just showed them a sign from heaven. The exorcism that they just witnessed was a sign from heaven. But these two things, right? The first one, Jesus is a bad guy. This is like all those modern people on YouTube and in the mass media who say that religion is a problem. Religion is a bad thing. Religion is a negative thing. Religion is something you need to stay away from. You know, the new atheists have succeeded very strongly in portraying Christianity as a bad influence on Western culture. Of course, in order to do that, you have to deliberately blind yourself to the fact that if there were no Christian churches, there would virtually be no hospitals, no charities, no universal education. All the good things that we think are wonderful in life are the direct result of the impact of Christianity. Do you think atheists are sending money to people when disaster hits? No, my friends, it is those terrible, terrible Christians who open up their wallets and respond generously when people are in need. Atheists just sit around and talk about how the government isn't doing enough, right? And by the way, when the government mandates your charity by means of taxes, guess what? It don't count as charity anymore. It's not generous of you to pay your taxes. And there's nothing laudable about it. You just got to do it. You better, or the government's going to come and get you. Unless you're a Democrat. All right. But you see, once the government confiscates your money for your own good and decides to give it to different charitable causes, it's not really charity anymore, and it's not giving in the biblical sense of the term. You're not being generous to other people. You're just simply paying your taxes, right? It's not the same thing at all. But we Christians, even though the government is burdening us with unreasonable taxes, right, eating out our substance, we are still generous in a way that the unbelievers and the atheists and all those people are not. The only time they raise money for anything good is if they give people a free concert, you know, the concert for Africa or the concert for this or the concert for that. And then people come and they're motivated by their selfish desire to see a celebrity in concert, and they'll fork over the money to pay the ticket to get in. And that supposedly, after they take out their 50% for everything else, that supposedly goes to charity. But notice, it's not charity. It's all quid pro quo. Right? Christians don't do that. Some disaster happens, I mention it in church, you guys go home and write out a check and send it off. And that happens countless times in countless churches. So when everybody says, oh, religion is bad, you know, yes, some religion is bad. Not Christianity. Not the real Christian faith. Jesus set this man free from a demon that had rendered him mute. And so it is. The Christian church sets people free and is the foundation of all that we consider liberty in our great civilization and culture. So, the first reaction is one that just, we want to find fault with Jesus. The second one is, we'll never be convinced no matter what you do. That's a lot of modern people are like that. They ask you a question about something they've never understood. You answer the question, it doesn't cause them to come to faith. It just makes them demand another answer to another question. And they will never, never, never come to the faith. Why is it? Why is it that they have to attribute evil to Jesus, evil to his church, and why is it that they have to refuse to be satisfied and come to the faith? Here's the simple answer. They don't want to. That's it. That's it. If you have friends and family members that do not believe in Jesus for whatever reason they give you, what's the bottom line? They don't want to believe in Jesus. If they wanted to, they'd be here. If they wanted to, they'd believe enthusiastically. But they don't want to believe, and so they won't. You know, in the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus says these words. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. That's the short answer to why it is that people don't believe. They don't believe, not because they've been truly convinced by irrefutable evidence and facts that it's not true. Believe me, you talk to your average modern person and get a load of some of the goofy things they believe. Bigfoot, for crying out loud. Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster. And people are like, oh yeah, oh yeah. You know, aliens. Yeah, I believe in aliens. You believe in aliens. Isn't that clever? Want to come to church and believe in Jesus? Oh, I'm too smart to believe in that stuff. Right? Wait a minute. You believe in Bigfoot and you're too smart to believe in Jesus and the Bible? You know? Well, the Bible has been proven false by science and blah, blah. Nonsense. Nonsense. Right? Just like Bigfoot has been proven, right? Bigfoot and what's the other? The Loch Ness Monster. All that stuff. Now, I know somebody sitting in this room right now going, I believe in Bigfoot. Let me tell you. Don't tell me. I want to maintain the illusion. All right? Don't tell me. All right. So no matter how many miracles Jesus does, they demand another one. No matter how many convincing proofs and arguments you give a person who doesn't want to believe, they won't believe and they'll still keep questioning and they'll never come to the faith because they don't want to come to the faith. So Jesus sets aside argument number one and two by simply saying, your stance is ridiculous. That's what Jesus is saying. If Satan divides against himself, his kingdom falls. Right? In other words, he's saying to the world, your argument that I'm an evil influence on the world is not only wrong, it is stupid. Okay? It is stupid. Willful ignorance. And then Jesus says this, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Right? And here we have a wonderful example of inconsistency. There were Jewish people, teachers and rabbis, etc., who were able in the Jewish faith to cast out devils from people. And none of the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees ever said, these people are in league with the devil and that's why they're doing it. And here's Jesus, a man who is regularly setting people free. And they're saying, he's in league with the devil. He's in league with the devil. Ever go to a cocktail party and you're talking to people and you listen to the crazy things that people think are just so wonderful when they ought to be critiquing it, they think it's just wonderful. You know, or you go on Facebook, right? Facebook, and you see some of the crazy things that people think, that they ought to have more critical thinking going on. And they accept things, you know, they're as gullible as fish and ducks, you know? And yet, you know, they are dismissive of Christianity, dismissive of the Bible, but they accept all manner of other nonsense unreflectively and undiscerningly. Jesus says, so if I'm in league with the devil, what about your guys? Who are they in league with? Therefore, they will be your judges. And then Jesus cuts to the chase in the matter, and he does it with a 1-2 punch. Number one, he says, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, if I'm doing this by the power of God, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. All right? That's why you won't believe in me, he's saying, because this really means that God's kingdom has come upon you. You think you already possess God's kingdom by your works righteousness, but I have come along to offer you God's gracious salvation. The kingdom of God is present in me, in my works, and in my words. Therefore, when you see me casting out a devil, this is an example of the power of God at work, because the kingdom of God has come in and through me. That's what Jesus means here. In and through me. And on judgment day, all of those excuses will be pitiful. The second punch that Jesus gives is in verse 21. He says, "When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace." He's talking about Satan. And he says, Satan is like a tyrant. He's like a strong man, a tyrant, a drug lord down south of the border, you know, that kind of person. You know, he's got armies of soldiers around him, you know. You've seen all those Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, right? And the devil is like a strong man who keeps his palace and he's armed to the teeth and he has security because his whole perimeter is surrounded by an arsenal of weapons. That's the devil. And then Jesus says, but when someone stronger than he comes along and overcomes him, taketh his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. That's what Jesus says of himself. I am stronger than the devil, and I have come to defeat him, to disarm him, and to plunder his kingdom. And that means salvation for everyone who is under his dominion. And that means every person in the world. Right? The Bible talks about the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What's he talking about? He's talking about the devil and the world of unbelievers. All right? The world of unbelievers is in bondage to the devil. And the devil will drag them all into hell with him. The good news is, along has come Christ. And Christ has overcome the devil, disarmed the devil, and plundered his kingdom. So that through Christ, you are set free. And you're no longer in the devil's camp. You have been plucked up by the grace of God and moved out of bondage and death, and you have been placed in the kingdom of God through the grace of God in Christ Jesus. This is why it's such wonderful news that Jesus cast out a devil. And that he said, if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. And when he says that he is stronger than the devil, he has come to defeat the devil, disarm the devil, and plunder his kingdom. This is good news. And if we will not receive this good news in true faith, there is only one other alternative. Jesus tells a story. He says, when an unclean spirit, a demon, goes out of a person, that demon walks through dry places looking for rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to the house from whence I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and garnished. That is, he finds the person's heart empty and devoid of true faith in the Lord. So then he goes and he takes seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they all enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. In other words, If we will not rejoice in the gifts of God that are for us through Jesus Christ, if we use all manner of excuses to push it away and keep it at arm's length, we will go from bad to worse to hell. Hear me now. We will go, if we refuse Christ, we will go from bad to worse to hell. That is the Bible truth. The Bible truth. But we got to end on a good note. Got to end on a good note. So after Jesus says all of this, a woman in the crowd is, she is as happy as a clam, right? She is really impressed with Jesus, and she loves the fact that the Pharisees and the scribes have gotten their comeuppance from him, right? So she's really impressed, and she yells out, "Blessed is the womb that bare you and the breasts which you have sucked." Now, aside from being kind of graphic, you know, people were more direct in those days. We'd say that in a much softer way, you know. But you know, she was being very graphic, and she was very impressed. So she said the nicest thing that she could think of to give Jesus a compliment, to show him that she was really impressed with him and that she liked what he said. All right? So she says a nice thing about Jesus. Was it a sufficient thing? No. This wasn't yet faith. It was, she was positively impressed, but her statement was not necessarily, it could have been, but not necessarily a statement of faith. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the paps which thou hast sucked. You are great, Jesus, and what a lucky mother you have. Okay? That's pretty much what she's saying. Now notice that Jesus does not, he doesn't rebuke her, and he doesn't contradict her. He supplements what she says. Right? He says, yea, rather. He's saying, yes, what you say is true. Right? As far as it goes, what you've said is true. But rather, here's what you still need to know. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. The word of God. Blessed are they that hear it and keep it. Right? They are those for whom Jesus is the Savior of the world and the giver of eternal life. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.